got it pointed.
All right, y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm ready a minute ago.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 12th, 2009, Harborough Board of Aldermen work session. Before we begin, I'm just going to briefly read a proclamation. Whereas travel and tourism in Harborough and Orange County is vital to our economic stability and growth, and it contributes substantially to our cultural and social well-being. And whereas tourism is a growth industry in Orange County, generating $147+ million in expenditures in 2007, an increase of 7% over the previous year's figures, ranking the county 24th in travel impact among North Carolina's 100 counties. And whereas state and local revenues from travel to Orange County amounted to $10.9 million in 2007, and whereas more than 1,740 jobs in Orange County were directly attributable to travel and tourism in that year. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, Mayor of the Town of Carrboro, North Carolina, recognize the efforts of the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau and do hereby proclaim May 9th through 17th, 2009 as National Travel and Tourism Week in Carrboro with the theme Discover Great American Traditions. Let's discover and appreciate Carrboro's great tourism traditions, which illustrate the importance of tourism to our community. This is the 5th day of May, 2009. All right. Before we begin our regularly printed agenda, Dan, did you have?
Yeah. As I informed you all earlier, I heard from Greg Ganji of the Institute of the Environment, who was aware of our legislation involving HOA restrictions on energy and other sustainability features for homeowners. And he's going to have his students study that impact in Carrboro, and said that it would be helpful for him if we had a resolution of support for that. So I would like to move the following. The Board of Aldermen supports Professor Ganji's student project on sustainability in Carrboro. We believe their study will provide us with important insights into obstacles and opportunities for sustainability improvements, and look forward to receiving a report on their findings.
I'll second that, but with the, at the end of the report and the study, will they, or at least tell us preliminary how they define sustainability? Is it just going to be looking at energy, or is it going to be sustainable? And for want of a better word, affordable.
Well, I think they're taking off from our legislation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we have any input that we want to give them beyond that, I'm sure they would welcome that. So,
okay. For
example, if there are things that are typically in restrictive covenants or HOA regulations mm-hmm. that impact affordability, if you want to let me know, I'll pass that on
okay. To
Ganji, and I'm sure they will look at that.
All right, I'll email you.
Great.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed are passing unanimously. Thanks for bringing that to our attention, Dan.
I'm wondering at what point we can discuss as a board our library situation. I've talked with some folks who have been presenting up at the county commissioners, and not only are they looking at closing the Carrboro Branch Library, but they're looking, the Board of Commissioners are discussing taking the collection back.
Which is worth $400,000.
Well, and a lot of that was purchased here locally by Friends of the Library. And I would like to know at what point we might discuss it, what point might we discuss some options where we can creatively work to resolve this situation.
Can we do that next week?
Well, definitely not next week. Maybe in 2 weeks.
What's happening next week?
Colleton Crossing.
One of the things maybe between now and if we look at it in 2 weeks that maybe staff could look into, if I always like Plan B. Well, if they decide to close McDougal Branch Library, you know, I'd like us to consider and maybe get the information on whether it's possible to use the downstairs lobby of the Century Center and maybe room 4 to house some of the collection, in part, at least to be able to hold on to, you know, the concept of a branch library and act as a transition between the Carbo Branch Library and the Southwest Branch that hopefully won't be too far in the future. But I fear if we, if the library, if Carbo Branch Library at McDougal goes and the collection goes, then it's going to be all the harder for us to get that Southwest Branch Library going. So.
And the other thing is, I thought we were going to write a letter. Because we discussed it, I think, 2 weeks ago when I went to tell them that a letter was forthcoming. Mm-hmm. So we do need to discuss it. And, I don't think we should be just thinking about us, but we should include maybe a little paragraph about Cedar Ridge, who...
Cedar Grove.
I'm thinking of the high school.
Yeah.
So. Can we have staff look into the viability of some space use in the Century Center and before we generate a letter? Or while we generate a letter?
I think we definitely could. We can definitely do both things. I don't know that they're necessarily... I don't think we necessarily have to wait on the letter.
It also seems, regarding the removal of the collection, it might be worth talking with the school system. I mean, it's in the library already right now. It's used partly by the school. Even if it's not staffed, why can't the collection remain?
I'd also like to, you know, before dismissing it out of hand, I'd like to ask the county commissioners, and I'll explore the possibility of using the Homestead Center. I know it's used for classes. I know it's used for other things, but it's not used a whole lot. And it's a really good location, and it's already owned. And you can have meetings in libraries after hours with tables in the middle.
And they've already said they don't need the Homestead Center anymore.
They've already said that, and that exists and kind of as a stopgap measure. I think the Homestead Center is a really good location. And it puts something up north where folks deserve to have something. And I'd also like to understand more why the county would be able to take the collection and sell it when they didn't buy it.
Probably because they gave it to them, and it was a gift that was when you give a gift without any, I guess...
Restrictions.
Okay. Then it becomes the county's property. I can be corrected.
It's still kind of underhanded since it was given for us.
Well, the problem,
taking your kids' Christmas present.
The problem is that
you don't do that.
the problem is that the collection would go back into the Hikonichi system,
and
you know it could be absorbed anywhere. So you know, I really think that's important. I will make one comment of caution about the Homestead property. It was my understanding that the interest in the Homestead property was also to turn it over so they'd have cash. They were interested in selling it for cash.
Right. I knew that.
Well, in today's market, they may have it long enough for it to serve as a temporary library.
That may be.
You know, I'd hate to see them undersell that property and then somebody else come along and make a mint, have it go through.
So I'd like to move that we ask staff.
I have another question first, because I guess what I want to make sure we're clear on is whether 2 weeks from tonight to first have our next discussion on this is if it's impacting the county's budget, you know, they're already pretty far along. Is that really soon enough, or do we need to do it? I mean, and this is very important to the community, and if we're going to have an impact, then, and I'm really just asking the question, do you all think that that's soon enough, or perhaps we should have a special meeting sooner to discuss this.
I certainly think it's urgent.
I'd be willing to come to a special meeting, and I think our citizens are, you know, I really don't hear many really upset letters in the past couple of years about things, but this is as, getting as much email on this as I got on Smith Level.
What about this Thursday?
I can't come this Thursday.
14. Don't we have that other meeting?
Because it's an off night for the advisory boards that meet on Thursday.
I know.
Got the bar meetings that night, too.
Yeah, the bar's meeting that night.
I mean, and can we do it earlier? Can we do it like at 6? Would that help you?
I could do it later. I could do it at 8.
Yeah, we have a bar meeting. To vote for the three nominees for the next district court judge.
And I'd be at 8 or 8:30 for that.
So that involves the three of you?
Yeah. Well, I actually have a graduation event, so I can't even go to the bar thing.
Okay.
Monday?
And Friday's out. Monday.
Friday's okay. Tomorrow's okay.
No, tomorrow's not okay for
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. No, we have
ESC tomorrow.
If we met earlier, I guess, before ESC.
Possibly it's more important than the ESC meeting.
But if Friday's good.
From some people's perspective. Friday.
Yeah, we're not meeting on Friday.
Well,
what about Monday?
Could be.
How about Monday?
I think Monday's Greenways. Is Monday Greenways? Let me look on the calendar.
Well,
what time's ESC tomorrow?
7:30.
I can't meet tomorrow.
Okay, we can't do it tomorrow.
Or tomorrow at 7 and might run a little late into ESC if that's the only topic.
We have some staff conflict tomorrow.
Oh.
We have some staff conflict tomorrow.
Okay. Staff conflict. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Monday? Friday? No, Friday?
Friday's good with me.
Okay, hang on.
Dan,
okay.
It's not good for Dan.
Monday's the 20th. Monday's the 18th.
I know this is not the most convenient thing, but is it possible we could meet like Friday at 4 or something like that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can't meet on Friday, okay. But if you all want to meet without me, that's okay.
Well, if you want to go Monday, let's go Monday.
Yeah, I won't be there Monday. But again, I don't want to hold up the board, so.
Okay, who can come Monday?
I can come Monday.
I can come Monday. I could come Friday.
Or Friday.
That's Monday.
Friday, Monday.
At 5:30?
Yes.
5:30? No, I can't do it at 5:30. I'd get here at 6:15.
6:30?
6:15 is good.
6:15. I would be here at
Monday
6:15.
May as well do it Tuesday, right before the meeting.
No.
Is that a go, Monday? 6?
There's also Friday at 4, Mark suggested.
Yeah, there's also Friday at 4.
Because that might be good for everyone.
Is that problematic, Joel?
I thought you said you couldn't do it.
Right, but Lydia can't do Monday. So.
I think.
What?
Joel, can you do Friday?
I'll try. I won't know until I get to work tomorrow.
I don't know if I mean, for Joel, that means leaving work at 3.
15.
3:15.
For
me, it means leaving work at 3:30. I don't know if I can do that.
If there's any way we could do it Monday, that Friday is, I could try to change something.
Let's say Monday.
Monday.
At 6:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
John is going to be out of town then, but.
And is this considered a work session type discussion, or is it? Are we going to have public comment? Because we could get a lot of it that we've already had emailed.
I think it's a work session.
Emergency work session.
I mean, citizens are welcome to be here.
Yeah, they're welcome to be. 5:30, did you say?
6:30.
6:30.
Okay, Monday. Got it.
Okay, Mr. Attorney, or staff, are we? We're in a position to give adequate notice for that, or have we done it right here?
Continue this meeting until that time.
At the end of this meeting, we could vote to continue this meeting until 6:30 on Monday, and then we don't necessarily have to advertise and so forth.
That's correct.
That's nice if people know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine.
And yeah, but they will.
The word will get out there, too.
It'll be on Facebook.
I can't be here that by time, but you don't need me.
I don't think we'll need your, I mean, we always benefit from your assistance, Mr. Attorney, but.
That discussion doesn't sound like.
It's probably going to be strictly political matters. All right.
So do you need that move?
We'll entertain that motion at the end of the meeting.
Excellent.
But I think that'll.
Thank you.
Viewers can assume that that's going to happen. Okay. Mr. Attorney, I mean, Mr. Manager, presentation of your recommendation.
Beth, promote me.
Yeah. Demote, actually, but yes.
It has a fireworks. It has a fireworks.
Good evening, everybody. It is that time of year again, and I'll try to move through this rather quickly. There's not a tremendous amount to talk about this year, but I do want to say thanks to some folks. Particular thanks to Bing Redding, Assistant Town Manager, for all the work she and her staff did. Also to the department heads, all of whom are here in the audience tonight, and really to all town employees, because everybody has really joined hands, as they do every year, but especially this year in some very difficult times, to put forth what I feel very good about the budget for next year, all things considered. So let's get started. No surprises here. We've been in a very difficult economic situation that continues. My crystal ball hasn't told me yet when this might end, so we're trying to prepare for difficult times ahead, and I think the budget is reflective of that. There were really four key interests that we looked at in putting the budget together for you all to consider. First was to try to avoid a tax rate increase. Second was to maintain our current service levels. Third was to protect our active employees' jobs and fringe benefits package. And the fourth was to continue with our long-term planned capital initiatives so as not to get ourselves into a deep hole in the future where it'd be more expensive, both on the operating budget as well as inflationary factors hitting the purchase of capital items. This is just a quick shot of the general fund budget, which, as you can see, is a little over $19 million. And what I'd really call your attention to here is the amount of dollars or percentage that the town puts towards public safety. Almost a third of the budget is public safety related, 29%. And then looking on the revenue side for the general fund, and I'll talk a little bit more about revenues in a minute, but you can see that property taxes and sales tax make up about 73% of the revenue picture for our general fund, and everything else really pales in comparison to those two revenue sources. Talking about revenues, you can see the headline here is we had about $27,000 in what I'd call new money to work with for next year. That's recurring revenue, sales tax, property tax, the kinds of things that we count on every year. The bulk of the additional revenues for next year are non-recurring revenues, about $545,000 that we're actually transferring from capital reserve for money that we've set aside for several years to do resurfacing. And then the other almost $23,000 in quote-unquote new revenue is from installment proceeds for financing capital vehicles and equipment over and above what we did compared to the current year. So this really shows just how little we had to work with in terms of new revenue. This gives you a picture of, again, some of the difficulties we were working with. If you look at local sales tax, we're projecting about a 9.3% decline over what we had budgeted for the current year, over $300,000. We're being very conservative. I'm hopeful that we'll do better than this, but every month for the past number of months, we've seen a decline overall, so we wanted to be very conservative and very safe. And then restrictive revenue is the other one that's the big drop, and that's primarily the Powell bill money that we get from the state to provide for maintenance of our town-maintained streets. And that has, this is 2 years in a row that the Powell bill money will have declined. So it's definitely not a good trend for us. This obviously is a map of North Carolina. If you can, you'll see that those counties in white have experienced some growth in the 1% sales tax. And I show you that because if you look at the little magic circle, you'll see around Orange County that in the 1% local option tax, which is what's the point of distribution here in Orange County, locally we're doing better than much of the state. And I think particularly here in Carrboro, we're probably doing better than even parts of Orange County. So that's the good news. While things are not what we'd like for it to be, the picture in Orange County, and particularly here in Carrboro, is stronger than what it is in many areas of the state and certainly many areas of the country. Continuing on with revenues, I mentioned the Powell bill. There's also a change in state law dealing with cable franchising, so we expect to lose that direct payment from Time Warner. This coming year will come back to us in a different form through the state sales tax. But those two things, those two reductions, along with sales tax, equate to almost 2 cents on the tax rate that we've had to make up. Also, as everybody is aware, Orange County has undergone a revaluation of real property that affects everybody in Carrboro as well as everybody in Orange County. And we certainly, as a staff, and I know you all as a board, understand that the economic crisis is felt by everybody in our community. And in putting this budget together, we've tried to be very sensitive to that. And we are recommending a revenue-neutral tax rate for next year. And that tax rate, as you'll see here, is proposed to be 58.94 cents. The current rate is 68.63 cents, a reduction of almost 10 cents and a reduction of 14%. As you all know, the revenue neutral rate is defined by state law. This calculation is spelled out in the general statutes, and it really, in essence, is the rate that it would take to produce the same amount of revenue we would have had in the upcoming fiscal year had revaluation not taken place. And as a part of that formula, we are to use the average annual increase in growth of the tax base since the last revaluation. This revenue-neutral rate can be misleading because what it means for the town is that overall we won't gain any financial benefit from the revaluation. We would get essentially the same revenue that we would have gotten without the revaluation. However, because it shifts the burden, it cuts up the pie in a different way because of changes in personal property values and business property values and real estate, even though the overall pie remains the same, people are going to be paying different amounts. And so there will be a number of taxpayers in Carrboro, even though the rate is dropping significantly. Some of our taxpayers will see an increase depending on how their house was revalued by the county, depending on whether or not they've held on to vehicles or perhaps they've purchased a new vehicle this year. It's very individually specific. So we don't get any more money out of the revaluation, but there will be folks who will pay more and folks who will pay less in Carrboro taxes for the coming year. The other thing to keep in mind is, and I think we talked about this some last year at budget time, is the property tax relief available to folks who meet those guidelines. Those guidelines are available on the Orange County website. They're also available, I think, on our website as well as Channel 18. We've got information there. And that property tax relief means a reduction to the town of Carrboro in an estimated amount of about $38,000 for next year. On the expenditure side, this, I believe, will be the smallest amount of what we call expansion funding. And this is my sixth budget with town. And at the retreat, you all ask us, because of the hard times in the county and the fact that human services agencies were really struggling, you ask rather than look at reducing if we could find a way to increase that allocation for the coming year. And we heard that. If we followed the formula that you all approved several years ago, we would have used only the consumer price index from December of 2007 to December 2008, which is a 0.1% increase, which would have been an increase of about $131. You'll see here that what we are actually recommending is a $10,000 increase for the Human Services agencies, which is almost an 8% increase. That is the only expansion item in the budget. And we say here the continuation budget is simply that, to maintain jobs, to maintain basic operating and capital needs, and trying to make sure that our current service levels are continued. Turning to our employees, and this is, you know, is the bulk of our budget, as with most public agencies, is our employees. Pretty flat for personnel costs, and the reason for that is our pay for performance we're suggesting be put on hold for next year, which means that no town of Carrboro employee would receive any salary increase at all in the new budget year. Also, we're fortunate to not have a rate increase in health insurance rates. We did that after going out to the market after we were hit with a renewal in double figures, and we've gone back out to the market, and we will be making a change in carriers, but that will allow both the town and our employees who have to pay some of their own coverage to not experience an increase. In fact, there'll be a very small decrease for employees. We're continuing a soft freeze. You all know that in the current year we've done several things. One is we've held off on capital expenditures this year. We've asked employees to look at line items in the budget to try to hold off where possible, and we implemented a soft hiring freeze earlier in this fiscal year, and they include right now frozen positions in planning, public works, the two new police officers that were to have been filled in January. We've held off on those, and we also have a number of seasonal employees, particularly in public works, that we won't be filling, and that's where we may see you know, mowing time stretched out a little bit, maybe not as many flowers planted, those kinds of things. But the basic service levels, picking up the garbage, answering fire calls, answering police calls, the day-to-day work, you know, our employees are going to do what needs to be done to make sure that it gets done properly. And I want to say again, our employees understand the difficult economic situation that exists in the community, in the state, in the nation. You know, many of them are hitting their own families or have friends who have been impacted. And so I'm confident that all of our employees will pull together to work through another difficult year next year, and that they will proudly put forth their very best effort to take care of the residents of the town of Carrboro. Let me move on to capital outlay. I mentioned this number earlier, the 544,806. That is the money we have basically in our capital reserve or our savings account to do our street resurfacing. As you all know, we do street resurfacing every 2 years, but we put aside money every year to pay for that, so we can do it on a pay-as-you-go basis. We didn't do capital financing this year. We asked our departments and our fleet maintenance folks to look at the capital improvement list for the current year and for next year and put those two together and prioritize and put off vehicles and equipment that had good maintenance records, and we felt like we could stretch those out a little bit. But we are proposing about $620,000 of vehicle and equipment financing for next year, which equates to about $139,000 for each of the next 5 years in debt service to pay back the $620,000. We also will be proposing, or are proposing, to put aside $200,000 for our future street resurfacing program, so we don't fall behind in future years, and recommending almost $156,000 be set aside in our reserve funds to hopefully one day, sooner than later, begin the reconstruction on the Weaver Street project. We had hoped to put a much larger amount into reserve for next year, but trying to meet all those other interests that we talked about on the first slide, that simply just was not possible to do. So if we're able to try to stay on the most recent schedule with this project, we'll need the, another allocation in the fiscal year 10-11. Debt service expenses, a couple of highlight. Finally, I can say we've actually got money in the budget to start paying debt service for the new fire station, almost $200,000 to make one payment in the upcoming fiscal year. We'll be taking bids later this month, and hopefully construction would actually start this summer. We also will be continuing the sidewalk and greenways project, about $122,000 in interest, and we just signed documents today to renew the bond anticipation notes at an interest rate of, I think it was 0.97%. So that was good news for us.
Beat that with a stick.
Even with the $620,000 we're proposing for vehicles and equipment for next year, there's still a number of items that we're proposing to put off. Again, trying to keep in mind those interests that we laid out earlier. In fact, almost $370,000 in vehicles and equipment that normally would have been purchased in the upcoming fiscal year, we're saying we're going to hold off on those and re-examine that as a part of the review of the next capital improvement program. In addition, there were a number of projects that were approved in this year's budget that we, some of them we actually bid. The bids didn't come out like we wanted them to, and so we've held that money in reserve. We'll be asking you all to set aside almost $194,000 in fund balance for the projects that are listed here. We'll revisit those in the fall. We'll make sure they stay within our fiscal policies, but also make sure that the economy is where it needs to be before we would actually go forward with any or all of these projects. And if it looks like we need to hold off and we need that money for something else to maintain current service levels, then we'd come back to you and say, hey, we can't afford to do this right now. Let me mention just quickly about stimulus funding. I think you all know that there are two, well, there's several pots of money, two with transportation. We've got two sidewalk projects and bus shelters that we're looking at with one pot of money, with another pot of money, sidewalk and bike lanes along Old Fayetteville Road from McDougal to 54. We also have a grant application in that would purchase two certified canine dogs and their supplies and training that would add a canine unit to each of our four squads in the police department. We also have a grant in for two police officers, which would allow us to fund those two police officer positions that are currently frozen. I also want to mention that one of the things that really helped our budget for next year, and not much of this has a direct impact on the bottom line for next year's budget, but one thing that really does is the Chapel Hill Transit, as you know, we partner with Chapel Hill and UNC, is getting a fair amount of stimulus money, particularly for purchasing new buses and some other items. That allowed us not to have to increase our contribution to Chapel Hill Transit for next year, and that's a $1 million expenditure for us. So even a small percentage increase translates to a pretty large dollar increase for us. So that was great news for us. I also want to mention that we continue to look for opportunities for stimulus funding for energy projects, and we haven't given up trying to find a way to get some money for helping with the new fire station. So to wrap it up, this budget is, although I think every year it's been lean, I think this is much leaner than in previous years. And, you know, again, we essentially had no new money to work with, and I think the budget reflects that. If we hadn't had debt service in here for the fire department for next year, we'd have a budget that actually is a good bit less than the current budget. We've got to pay a watchful eye. I think we're very cautious, very conservative with our revenue estimates for next year. We'll monitor very closely how things go in the new fiscal year, and if need be, we'll do additional things to what we did this year. I think the cautious approach that we took in the current budget, nobody hit the panic button, but we did some things, planned ahead, I think positioned us very well for the upcoming fiscal year, and it has allowed us to recommend a budget to you all without a tax increase. And I know with you all's guidance and with the support of the employees, we'll continue to make those kind of balanced choices that will try to protect the interest of the community, the interest of our employees, and we'll make sure that we do the appropriate capital spending, so again, we don't dig ourselves into a big hole, and 2 or 3 years down the road, we say, gosh, we should have done some of those things that we put off. So with that, happy to answer questions. Yes.
Thank you. Thanks to Bing and the rest of the staff. It's once again excellent piece of work. My concern is that we need to pass this before the state passes theirs. And what if there are some state, nice words to use in public, what if there are some state shenanigans or shiftings with the budget that end up affecting our revenue? I know you had mentioned some plans for dealing with that. Do we have any wiggle room in case?
Well, the wiggle room would be in the areas that, for example, the projects I mentioned, reserving and fund balance, there's no requirement that has to be done at a particular time. We wouldn't propose spending any of that money until we have the state budget was adopted. With the freezing of some of the positions, we might have some of those positions remain frozen longer if we had some negative impact from the state beyond what they've done to the communities in the past. So I think we've got a number of short-term things. Now, if they did something on a permanent basis, then we'd have to rethink something probably for future budget years. But I'm hopeful that they won't do anything, but if they do, I think we've done enough things in the current budget and in the proposed budget that we should be able to weather that.
Steve, I'm going to echo what Jackie said. Steve, Bing, and the other department heads. I think the budget is kind of unbelievably done, given the current economic climate. I mean, I know at least three of us, I guess, work for the state, and you know, we're going through furloughs and working aside alongside vacant positions and kind of wondering what's going to happen with our health insurance. So it's pretty remarkable to be able to maintain the status quo, and I appreciate the time that went into the budget. I have two quick questions. One is the COPS grant that's for two positions. How long is that grant?
It's 100% of the basic cost for 3 years.
Okay. And my second question is, or just a thought, I'm sure you all have thought about it, some of those projects that have been kind of put on hold for overruns and to rebid and so on, specifically the dog park renovation and the Wilson Park playground, I'm not sure how much those are, and they may be outside the scope of the Carborough Parks project, but it's just a thought. I don't know how much they are, or if that's something that they might be interested in working toward. I'm sure you all have thought through that.
The dog fence repair work probably would, I don't want to speak for the park project, but that would be in line with dollar-wise with some of the other things they've done. The replacement playground equipment probably would be a stretch.
Yeah. Okay.
For them would be my guess.
Okay.
I echo my colleagues' comments. Thank you for your leadership, Mr. Manager, for presenting us a budget without a tax increase, which had been the majority of all the budgets that you had presented to us, and we thank you for that, and the citizens of Carborough do too. Thank you also for listening to us when we asked you to, we needed to invest more in our human services. You have done that, and I know, especially during these difficult times, we all as a community, we need to support more our non-for-profit organizations that are meeting those needs, while foundations and banks are going under. There's less philanthropy available to a lot of these organizations. Somebody has to pick up the tab, and it's up to us to do that. So I thank you for doing that. And once again, I just want to reiterate that the best decision I had ever made in this board was the hiring of you as a town manager. So
thank you, John.
Thank you.
I cannot believe in this past year that we've been able to hold on as well as we have, watching what's occurring all around us.
It really speaks to the staff, all the folks, all the employees in the town, and Steve, under your leadership. You know, I'm frozen. I know what it feels like. So I really appreciate that not only have you been able to hold everything to status quo, but also in the explanation, I think it helps when we can thoroughly understand exactly how to explain it to folks in the community, because we become the ambassadors of what's happening with the numbers. And I think for a lot of folks this year, the revaluation is very tricky. Folks concerned about tax increases for the county, and being able to look at numbers like the 58 cents tax rate decrease, and being able to explain why that really may not show, I think is going to be important. So I hopefully, you know, we'll be able to go forth and continue folks to have faith in what we're doing during these troubled times. So I appreciate the great work.
A couple things. First, I want to echo what John said about the human services funding, and I particularly want to speak to whatever reporters are covering news of our budget, because I think it's really important that the information get out there that a local government can recognize that agencies that provide critically important services, even more important in hard economic times, do need increased support, and that a town is able to provide that, a local government can provide that, while still having a revenue-neutral budget. And perhaps that can be a model to some of our peers around the region. I also want to echo what Randy and I guess everyone said about the staff in working on this budget and everything else. And I think it's important that we formally express some appreciation for the town staff. And so while Steve was talking, my multitasking half of my brain, I won't say if it's the right or the left, was developing the following resolution, which goes like this, which I will move and see if you all are agreeable to this. Whereas, because of the recession, the town of Carrboro has a hiring freeze in place. And whereas, because of the recession, the town of Carrboro plans no salary increases in fiscal year 09-10. And whereas, the above conditions create an additional burden on the town staff. Therefore, the Board of Aldermen wishes to express its thanks and appreciation to every member of the town staff for their hard work and dedication to making sure that Carrboro continues to be a great place to live, work, and play.
I'll second that.
Great job.
All right.
Thank you all.
That motion has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
And Steve or Sarah, if you can make sure that gets disseminated. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines, Dan. I'm glad you did that. I was going to say, this is, I don't know, this is like the 13th municipal budget that I've been involved in adopting, and only the second time that this kind of situation has ever arisen. The last time was when we kicked the previous George Bush out of office, when we were having a recession then too. And I don't take it lightly. I don't think this board takes it lightly, or this community takes it lightly, to talk about not having, even cost of living type increases for public employees. This is a community of public employees in Carrboro by and large. And we value our town employees tremendously, and but the fact is that the private sector is not really having any more pay increase other than at AIG. The private sector is not having any more pay increases than the public sector is this year, and that doesn't reflect anything about how we value our town employees, because we value y'all a lot. So I just wanted to add that to Dan's resolution. Okay. Are there other questions for the manager on the proposed budget?
No.
Does Bing also has a
Bing has a short presentation to talk about a little bit about debt, the various kinds of debt, and a little bit about our financial policies and how that fits. If you all are ready for that, then I'll ask her to come up. Everybody okay with that?
Come on up, Bing.
Well, it's going to be hard to top that presentation. Well, when you're thinking about debt in local government, you might want to think about your own personal debt. You make decisions if you have enough money.
No, thanks. No.
Yeah. We have a headache.
You borrow money to buy a house. Next slide. Borrow money to buy a house, a car. You use credit to buy items. And you also think about your ability to pay the loan. Oh, do I have enough money in my budget to pay a loan? And we call that in government debt service, your principal and interest payment. And the banks also make some decisions about whether they can loan you money. They have ratios and measures before they decide you're rich enough to pay back your loan. Local governments use a similar process. So I'm going to walk you through some of the basics of that. Well, first, why do we borrow money? There are times when the size of a capital expenditure requires the issuance of debt. But we only borrow after considering a range of funding. Do we have enough cash, pay as you go? Do we have savings, reserves, such as we are using this year's budget to do street resurfacing? Can we get any grant or is someone willing to donate anything to us? And then we start thinking about borrowing money. Additional considerations in borrowing money include cost. We don't want fund balance to decline significantly, because that is our cushion for difficult times. Or opportunity. We also, for public policy purposes, there is a good interest in spreading cost over the life of a facility. We ensure intergenerational equity. The facility will be paid by residents who will use and benefit from the facility when borrowing occurs and throughout the life of the facility. Okay, there are all kinds of debt instruments out there. Cargo has very simple debt. I'm not going to describe the world, the universe of debt out there. But I will talk a little bit about the kinds of debt that we use. General obligation bonds, that's used for projects that benefit the entire community, such as the greenways and the sidewalks. It requires voter approval. General obligation bonds carry the government's pledge of full faith and credit of the unit, the willingness to levy property tax without limitation as to amount or rate enough to pay the principal and interest on the bond. No collateral is required. And generally, you get the most favorable interest rate in general obligation bond, but you need to weigh that interest rate against the additional administrative and legal cost of getting evaluated by the rating agencies and your bond council and the local government commission and other administrative fees. And then the other method you see us use a lot is installment financing. Sometimes you hear us call it lease purchase proceeds. And lease purchase arrangements allow us to acquire facilities and equipment, vehicles, land, and building. No voter approval is required. The lender places a lien on the property or equipment until it is paid. Payments are subject to annual appropriations. If the government fails to pay, then the facility ownership stays with the bank. And we do evaluate interest rates on a case-by-case basis. Well, how do we borrow? We can't just go to the local bank or a bank and just say, hey, we want to borrow money. We do, there are steps required in the general statute on how we borrow money. Most financing requires approval of the local government commission and public hearing. The precise procedures vary based on the amount borrowed, the kind of project that you are borrowing for and the type of financing. And some brief examples here. In vehicles, that's very simple. There is no limit on how much we can borrow for vehicles. And we simply do an RFP for financing. We borrow the money. We do the bid in-house, and then the board approves the financing, and we go about our business, getting cars and paying debt. The fire substation, as you're seeing, that we've had to various steps involved. We have to have a public hearing on the financing. We also have to go through approval processes with the local government commission, and they will have to approve the financing, and then we borrow the money. And we will also do that bid in-house as well. Now, sidewalk and greenway bond projects, and that's another different kind of level of work. Similar legal and administrative processes through the local government commission, but they do the bidding. Okay, when do we decide that we want to finance? The key interest is staying with our financing capacity, knowing what our ability is to borrow. And putting teeth in that is by having a debt policy. You know, when you would address certain things at minimum, your statutory debt limits and restrictions, we would identify our debt capacity. You would have capital program goals and commitments, and be able to project your future debt and debt service costs. In terms of debt limit, there's one statutory limit called, it is set by the Local Government Bond Act. It's the amount of bonded debt, and let me back up a minute and tell you what debt is. When I talk about debt, I'm just saying that's how much, what the principal amount is that we still have left to pay on a loan. The amount of, and bonded debt here is just the amount of debt that we, or principal that we still owe on general obligation bond. Okay, so here, this ratio is, the statutory limit is 8% of the tax value. Bonded debt is limited to 8% of the tax valuation subject to taxation. And you can see our current outstanding bonded debt or amount we owe on any bond that we've issued is $127,000. We're almost done paying bonded debt for bikeways and streets that we did almost 20 years ago. The 8% limit says we could borrow $122 million. That's not realistic.
But it's not.
Thank you.
Legal limit.
Yeah. This measure is important because it assumes that property taxes are the primary source of debt repayment. This is certainly applicable in North Carolina. But another type of debt limit that we do look at is outstanding debt as a percentage of assessed valuation. And as I mentioned earlier, outstanding debt is that amount of the loan, the principal that you still have left to pay. And the measure, this measure is similar to what you just saw with the 8% limit. It's just that the local government commission, when they look at this measure, they include authorized but unissued debt. And right now the town does have the voters have authorized $4.6 million in bonded debt that we could incur, but we haven't issued it yet. But it's still part of that limit. Our debt policy strives not to have a high burden. And as you can see, Carborough is average. Debt per capita is another measure. This measure is really used by analysts as a measure of the town's ability to repay debt. And again, our debt policy is striving to avoid having a high rating. And as you can see, Carborough is average. And this is for towns our size, between 10 and 24,000 population. This really, I think, is the key measure that we look at, which is debt service. That's the amount of the loan that you pay every year, your principal and interest. What is that as a percentage of the total operating expenditures or budget? The reason this is important because it's considered a fixed cost in the budget, and increases in debt service may indicate excessive debt and fiscal strain. Now, the local government commission believes that percentages higher than 15% are considered to be on the high end or a heavy debt burden. Rating agencies consider 10% acceptable, 20% to be excessive. The town does have a policy of trying to keep its debt service as a percentage of operating expenditures at 12%. And you can see in June 2008, Carborough was at 8.3%. So we are acceptable at this point. And then our debt policy goes a little bit farther in terms of talking about or considering this 12%. First, we say no project will be included in the capital improvement plan that increases debt service expenditure rate above 12%. And any project that we or opportunity that presents itself that comes outside of the CIP, it shall be revisited in context of the plan to monitor the project impact on our debt ratio. From projects will be considered for recommendation as long as the debt service expenditures remain at or below 12%. And there are cases where a board may decide that it's okay to go above 12%, but this is just a trigger point to say, hey, you're getting up there. In any case, the debt management policy enables an informed process for monitoring debt and making financial decisions about our debt burden. And each year, both in your budget document as well as the capital improvement plan, if you look at the five-year plan, I think it's page 179 in the document, it might be 197, one of the two, you will see a projection of all these ratios following our debt cost over time. And that is the end of my presentation, and hopefully it was quick and understandable.
It was.
Thanks, Bing.
Any questions?
No questions.
Great.
Okay. Thanks, Bing. We have a resolution that was at our place tonight about a budget work session schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much there is to discuss, quite frankly.
We need a public hearing.
Right.
We do, yeah, well, that's, I think, required by law, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, right. That's May 26th. And
well, I don't know that we need to take, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know that we need to take any action on this resolution. I mean, that public hearing is set for the 26th already, is that right?
That's right.
I'm comfortable with that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Not unless we suddenly win the lottery.
Go for it, Joel.
Spend your own money, though. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
All right. So hearing no motion on the resolution, I think we're going to stick with our current schedule, and we'll have our public hearing on May 26th, which is
2 weeks.
Two weeks from tonight. Okay. If people would like to come and comment on the manager's recommended budget.
Let me mention also for May, Mark.
Yes, sir.
As we speak, the entire budget document should be posted on the town's website.
Okay. So, townofcarborough.org, somewhere on there. Take a look around. Okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Manager. I would like to ask the board whether they'd be willing to stay for about 5 minutes or so to have an executive session on a litigation matter.
Sure.
Yes.
So moved.
One other matter.
We need to continue this meeting.
We'll do it at the end of. We'll do it. We'll continue the meeting after we come back into open session. Yes, sir.
One other matter with attorney-client privilege, and we'll take another 5 minutes.
Okay.
So.
We move to go into closed session to discuss two matters of attorney-client privilege.
All right.
Second
thing. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
Hey, Anita, do you know how to hit the
TV light?